Kai, thank you very much for having me.
Let me go first to the Keystone XL pipeline, a big, big win for you and what you're interested in.
Well, sure. I mean, we thought that Keystone was actually a fantastic win, but we thought that the biggest part about Keystone was that it was a fork in the road for the United States, that basically it was saying we're not going to stick with the status quo, that we're moving to a new kind of clean energy economy, and so we're going to take a new path. And so that's a fantastic thing in terms of us going for a new kind of solution to our economy.
Not to get too far down into the politics of this, but you're satisfied it's going to stick even though we're having an election here in about a year and things could change?
Yeah, I think that if you look at where Americans are in terms of clean energy, we've moved an awfully long way in the last 6 months and in the last year. I think the majority of Republicans are pushing for clean energy and a very large majority of independents and Democrats. So, yeah, I think that we've pretty much made the decision to move on and start dealing with a economy powered by clean energy.
Why did you decide that energy and climate change are where you're going to spend your money?
Well, I think that my general feeling about the United States is that democracy works and that we really believe, you know, I've believed that my whole life, and my experience as a business person for 30 years was if you ignored the sound and fury, American democracy works if you give it enough time. And what I observed in terms of energy and climate was that it was a critical generational challenge for the United States, and that for some reason, democracy wasn't doing its normal job of kind of a lot of to-ing and fro-ing and a lot of screaming and yelling, but basically letting the genius of the American people answer the question. I felt like there's something wrong here. For some reason, the system that I've always believed in wasn't working, and I was determined if that's going to be our generational challenge, I wanted to be one of the people who worked on it, tried to solve it.
There are those who will hear this interview, Mr. Steyer, and say, but wait a minute. What you decided to do was manipulate the political process with your money.
Well, I really think it's a question of what you think is important in life and what you want to do with your life. And from my point of view, I felt that our generation of Americans was challenged to solve this problem. And the question was, what was holding it up? And the actual thing that's holding it up is politics. So we've worked really hard to try and get the voice of the American people to be heard on this issue, because we think if they're heard, if they understand a problem and are allowed to think about it, they come up with the right answer. And if they'll, when they come up with the right answer, they can insist on their way being followed. And that's what we're for.
I noticed you didn't reject the premise of the question or, in fact, answer it, right? I mean, you were trying to manipulate the political process with your money. You're not the only one, but this is what you were trying to do.
I absolutely do reject that. I think what we're trying to do is get – we've spent the vast bulk of our money on voter-to-voter contact, on people going door-to-door, on people speaking to other Americans and trying to have that voice be heard. So, yes, I think that that is the traditional American political process, and it's organization and time and people. And, yeah, those things cost money, absolutely, Kai. But the fact of the matter is that is the traditional American political process, and all we're trying to do is facilitate that process so that Americans can decide, are we right or wrong? There's no question of manipulation here. What we're trying to do is have the issue be fully aired, have the solutions be discussed, and let Americans decide.
There are those who will say, and in fact, let me just state the premise. Instead of couching it, Tom Steyer is the left's equivalent of the Koch brothers. Discuss.
Okay, let me start drawing distinctions.
Okay.
First of all, they have a lot more money than we do.
Okay,
so
but what's, what's a billion dollars
so
between friends, right?
Second of all, what we have on our side is the facts and the truth. And we recognize the implicit point that you're making, that our system, while we believe in it and trust in it, is not perfect. And part of that is the Citizens United decision and the influence of money in politics. So the way that we run our operation is completely different. We're totally transparent. We don't hide anything. We are not self-interested. We are speaking up for what we believe to be the interest, the broad-based interest of American citizens. We have no self-interest, and we're not hiding anything. That's completely different. So it is true that we're on the other side and that we're working against, that our values are diametrically opposed from theirs in this instance. But the fact of the matter is, that's where it ends, because the way that we operate is to try and minimize any of the problems that are associated with the imperfection of how campaigns are financed.
Are you denying that you have as much influence on the left as the Kochs have on the right?
Well, first of all, I don't see it in those terms at all.
Okay.
What we're really trying to do is not to speak to the left or the right, but to influence the amount of information that is delivered to American citizens so they can make up their own minds. From our point of view, it's important that all of America move, not the left or the right. So when we see a move in America over the last 6 to 12 months in terms of how they view clean energy, it's true that Democrats are overwhelmingly in favor. It's true that independents are. But it's also that Republicans have moved 12% in the last 6 months. This is not the partisan issue in terms of the electorate, in terms of American citizens, that it's portrayed in the press. It's a highly partisan issue for elected officials and people seeking high office. But the American people are moving on this across the aisle.
So why not then let the market work? If people want clean energy, they'll buy clean energy. If people don't want dirty energy, they won't buy it. Why not let the market work instead of trying to influence the political process?
Well, there's no doubt that what we want is a level playing field for every energy source. But the key words there are level playing field. There are two basic points I want to make. One, the cost of clean energy is now cheaper than fossil fuels in many instances, and it is only going to increase. So in many places, wind is the cheapest source of energy. In many places, solar is the cheapest source of energy. And those are technology-driven businesses where the cost has gone down 80% in solar for the last 5 years, and it's going to keep going down. So when you say, let the market work, the market is working. Over two-thirds of the new electricity generation in 2015 is renewable. The issue is this. You want the market to work, but there's a question of paying for polluting. If my job is to collect garbage in Los Angeles, and the way that I do it is collect everybody's garbage and dump it in Kai Rizdal's backyard, I may have the lowest cost, but you may not be so happy.
Might not.
But that's actually what's going on. I want a level playing field, and if they pay for their pollution, let the market rule. I'm a 30-year business person. I believe in American business. I believe in American ingenuity, and I believe in American innovation. That's exactly what I'm pushing for. I believe American business will solve this problem, but they need a framework that's fair, and that's why it matters. We want a fair framework so American business can solve this in the way that they solve every big problem. But politics matter. If you think the framework doesn't matter, I think that's unrealistic, and the framework right now is all behind the existing status quo businesses, and they are pushing hard as heck to try and keep their advantages.
And you're pushing back. I mean, come on, be honest, right?
I think very politely, Kai, don't you?
Well, you're a polite guy, but you're pushing back with your bank account, right? I mean, you know.
Well, I don't think that's fair. I think what we're pushing back with is the facts. All we're trying to do is let people know the facts about what is going on in the world, where the costs are, what's likely to happen.
But come on, for you to say we're just pushing back with the facts and then you spend $75 million in the last election cycle, come on. I mean, out of your own pocket, right?
But honestly, that is a question of getting people on the ground talking to other Americans at length about what's going on. Absolutely, that's not free. If you think, another word for politics in my mind is organization. You have to be organized. You have to let people get out there. It actually is not just magic. It is about organization, and that's not free.
You, as you've said, have been a businessman for 30 years. You've run a hedge fund. You've been actually doing this stuff on the ground. So the question that comes to my mind is, how do you judge your return on investment in your investment in politics? Because while Keystone was a big win for you and your cause, in electoral politics, you know, the last cycle, you didn't do so well. So at the end of the day, how do you add it up?
If you look in 2013 and 2014 at the races we were involved in, we about broke even. We're actually slightly higher than 50% win. It's also, and of course we wanted to be 100%, so I'm not trying to be disingenuous here. But the fact of the matter is in 2014, it was a very tough year for Democrats. So we do care about wins and losses, and absolutely we keep track of them, Kai. But the other thing I'd say is this. Look at how the country has moved. We are trying to use elections as a forum for people to pay attention, to understand that clean energy produces jobs, produces better health, and is a way of making it a fairer, more just America. So if you look at how Americans of both political parties and independents are changing the way they're thinking, something is happening here, and I'd like to think we had a part in it. Because the fact of the matter is, Americans are coming around to the way that we think very, very fast. And that's the other thing we look at. We feel as if when the American people make a decision together that they want something, politicians have to listen to them. And that's the process we believe in.
You have recently shut down most of your big policy shops, right? Your climate action groups and those kinds of things. I wonder where you think your money goes farther. Does it go farther in trying to influence actual policy, that is to say, coming out with proposals and ideas, or does it go farther in the political realm with direct political support?
Well, if you look at where we've actually been focused and where we continue to be focused, it is directly going to voters. So that when we think about what we're doing in 2015, for instance, our organization is on every campus in Iowa talking to young people about energy and climate. We're on every campus in New Hampshire talking to young people about energy and climate and what it means for jobs and what it means for health and the kind of problems that we're going to avoid if we do the right thing. So when we think about what's effective, we think that policy is something that comes out of politics, but what we're really focused on is the step before that, which is voters, American citizens, understanding what really is at stake here and why it's important to them and the people they love. And that's what we spend our time on.
I'm obliged to ask who you like in 2016. There was a piece out earlier this week noticing your absence from the role of Hillary Clinton supporters.
I mean, what we think, it is November of 2015. We have asked every candidate of both parties to give their solution to a progressive energy agenda. We're asking them to come up with a plan to explain how we're going to get 50% clean energy by 2030. So rather than choosing a candidate to back, first we want the candidates of both parties to explain where they stand so we can get a fully fleshed out understanding of the different ways that we could actually solve this problem. We're at a point where we're asking for solutions. We don't want to hear about the science, what your opinion is. We don't want to hear about your good intentions. We think at this point the American people deserve to have a frank and competitive discussion about how to solve this. So from our point of view, that's the stage we're at, and that's what we're spending all of our time on. Rather than picking a horse, we're really in the We feel like the American political conversation has got to deal with this. This is the chance for the American people to hear it fleshed out, and that's really important from our point of view, and that's what we're focused on.
Seriously? You haven't picked a horse? Come on.
If we had, we'd tell you, Kai. This is where we are. We believe that the American presidential campaign is the American political conversation, and we think that if you look back to what happened in healthcare in 2008, everybody had to discuss it. Everybody had to argue about it. Everybody had to listen to each other and adjust their opinions. And that's what we think is important to happen in terms of energy and climate. That is the process we believe in, and that is the process we're going for.
Here comes the put up or shut up question. Why don't you just run yourself?
We thought about what was
the
most...
No, wait. Not we. You. I. Come
okay.
on, right?
I don't want to seem too egotistical. I spent a lot of time thinking about how we could have the most impact in 2015 and 2016. And I decided that what we're doing, the organization that we've put on the ground in several states, including my own home state of California, that is the way that we can best engage Americans on this topic. And since that's what we're trying to do, that's what we're, through November of 2016, we are going to be going as hard as we can to try and make sure that this is a topic that Americans understand and care about so that they come and make the best decision. And that's what we're in favor of. And, that, you know, I can't think of something that's more important than doing that.
It has to be said here that when you were running your hedge fund, you made a whole lot of money in oil and gas and fossil fuels before you decided you didn't like oil and gas and fossil fuels.
It is absolutely true that we invested in everything, including oil and gas and fossil fuels. And it was less than 10% of what we did, to be exact, but it definitely mattered. And what I would say is this. I studied the issue, and I realized what was going on, and I changed my opinion. And there's no one in the United States of America who hasn't been part of the economy driven by fossil fuel energy. Absolutely nobody, and definitely including me. But the fact of the matter is what we all need to do is exactly what I did, which is look at the situation, understand what it means, and make a change in attitude. And so I'm not asking anybody to do anything I haven't done, and I'm not villainizing people for not having done it yet. I'm saying we have to make to take this fork in the road. We have to move in a different direction, and we have to change the way that we think in order to do that. So sure, I changed my mind because actually the facts became clear that we had a big problem, we weren't dealing with it, and it was up to citizens to change their mind and take action. As my friend George Shultz likes to say, democracy is not a spectator sport.
There's a question I'm asking everybody as we talk about the 2016 election over the next year, which is basically what your conversation with me today was about. And it goes like this. So the American economy, it's $18 trillion worth, but it's basically made up of everybody's individual economy and how they feel about it. I need you to disassociate yourself from your money and your background and give me the everyman answer to this question. How do you think the average American's economy making $53,000, whatever it is, dollars a year. How do you think they feel out there today?
I don't think there's any question, Kelly. I think that average Americans have gotten hammered over the last decade. I think that that the real incomes to the majority of Americans haven't even been flat. And I think that the further down you go in income level, the worse it's been. So I think there's no question there's been the traditional American attitude that as long as the national GDP grows, everybody shares, is no longer true. And so I think it's absolutely critical as a country that we accept that and start to think about how can we change what's been going on where there's been such a disproportionate sharing in the success of the country overall. But that's a big part of why we care so much about energy and climate, because what our mission is to act politically to prevent climate disaster and promote prosperity for all Americans. So when we look at the idea of clean energy economy, we're looking at an economy that creates good paying jobs for working people. And that's a huge part of what we're talking about. We're talking about, we just did a report showing that promoting clean energy creates 1 million new jobs by 2030 net. Mm-hmm. And those are good paying jobs for middle class working Americans. That's one of the reasons we care so much about this. We know that middle class people are getting hammered. We don't hear a single growth vision that doesn't include redoing our energy infrastructure. When we talk about energy efficiency, that's in California, we have 600,000 commercial buildings. Somebody's got to go in and redo them. Those are jobs for human beings. When we talk about 50% renewable generation in California, we're talking about solar arrays that someone has to build. We're talking about wind farms that someone has to build. Those are jobs for Americans. We're talking about creating a much more just America and sharing the wealth much more equitably. So we have not missed that point. I think that America is crying out on that point.
I know you say you're not running, Mr. Steyer, but that sounds a whole lot like a stump speech. I'm just saying.
Well, if any citizen cares a lot about their country and feels about it emotionally and speaks up, if that sounds like a stump speech, then maybe we're all running. Maybe there are 300 million Americans who care about it.
Tom Steyer, thanks very much for your time, sir.
Kai Ryssdal, thank you very much.